listening to the CCA Podcast.
I'm Scott, one of the pastors here, and I'm so happy to be sharing this morning on the theme of expect the unexpected. As Pastor Steve mentioned earlier, we're tying in that thought with four other thoughts. Hope, he talked about stirring up hope, expecting hope. Today I'm talking about faith and how unmet faith, when you are expecting something great that doesn't happen, and your faith is tested. That's kind of the theme we're going to be looking at this morning. Next week, Pastor Matthew's going to be looking at joy. And then I think the following week is with Pastor Steve again on peace. So we're going to look at the tension between unmet expectations and your faith. We can all relate to some degree to that thought. Sociologists tell us that people's behavior, interestingly enough, it's greatly influenced by expectations they have. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." You know, we've seen this with recent elections. In fact, you see this with all kinds of election results. You see people that are either screaming or that are very happy, that are either rioting or going right on. I mean, having some, you know, expectations met or expectations that were not met. And then you see reactions of different kinds. We see that at this time of the year with children, don't we? Kids have no trouble getting up really early on Christmas morning. Several days later, when it's time to catch the bus to go to school, guess what? The expectation's different than that. So that's always an interesting thought. You see kids behaving really nice the last maybe several weeks before Christmas because their expectation, if they act nice, they might get the gift that they want, right? You've got certain expectations for this time of the year as well, and maybe they're positive, maybe they're not so positive. You've got certain traditions that you look forward to. The tradition with the Montang family when I was a child was that we would open up our gifts on Christmas Eve. Now, I have to say, after I became a Christ follower and went into the ministry, and we started, you just came into this where you had Christmas Eve services at the church. That was like, what? We have Christmas Eve services at the church? That's when we're supposed to be opening presents to our kids, Leilani. Don't you understand how Christmas works? Well, that's changed a lot for me. But when I was a child, our tradition, my brother who was 4 years older, he still is 4 years older than I am. When we were a certain age, my dad would get us in his 1953 Chevrolet, and we would go out when it's almost dark, and we'd go looking for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. Yeah, a little bit of laughter there. Thank you. And one time, honestly, I thought I saw not really Santa Claus in the flesh, but I saw these really strange, you know, sparks coming up from this chimney, and they were different. In my mind, they were like pink and blue and purple, and they were very unusual sparks coming out of the chimney, and I said, that's got to be Santa Claus. And so, you know, we'd go around for, you know, maybe 20 minutes to a half hour, and we'd come back into our driveway, and we just always missed him. And my mom would say, you just missed Santa Claus, and we would run in. And, you know, my brother should have caught on sooner than I, okay? He was 4 years older. And we'd have to always take our shoes off, and the way my dad built the house, we had to always come through the kitchen, and then with a hardwood floor, we'd go sliding, like, into the tree. It was nuts. And so those are the expectations that we had. Now, 1 year, you'd always expect to get the gift you wanted. 1 year, I was starting to figure out, is Santa Claus for real or not? Because my folks were the type of, oh, Santa Claus is real. You know, he's real. But I'm starting to think, maybe he's not so real. So my dad took me to, I don't know if it was, where it was, JCPenney's or someplace. before Christmas, and I was still at the age, I might have been 9, I might have been 10. I sat on Santa Claus's lap, and I thought I'd pull a trick on Santa Claus. True story. So after I'm done talking to Santa, my dad says, "What would you ask him for?" You know, that way, you know, he would know what I wanted. And I said, I fooled Santa this year. I asked him for a doll. A doll. And why I thought of a doll, I don't know. I just said, my dad goes, "You did? Oh, well." He says, "You know, it's not nice to fool Santa." So you're jumping ahead because you know what's going to happen here. So Christmas Eve comes about. We go through the routine. We go sliding into the tree. And one of the presents I open up, there's this doll. And I'm going like, "What?" And I didn't really connect that I told Dad. It was like I told Santa, "Is he real? Is he not real?" You know, so I was expecting something else. I got some other things, but I wasn't expecting that doll. Come to find out, my dad had told that story to a coworker, and it was the coworker that went out and got this doll and says, "Hey, give this to Scotty. You think it's funny?" That's what happened. What are your expectations this year? For Christmas, for the new year, 2019. You know, our family's going to get together, and we look forward to it. We were expecting to have our granddaughter up from San Diego, but we found out now, she works at Trader Joe's. She's going to school. She has another job as well, teaching yoga. And it's not going to work for her to come up. And, man, my daughter's really bummed. We're bummed about this, too. But we were expecting, and so this is going to be like the first Christmas that we don't have all the kids and grandkids together. Now, that's really minor compared to so many things that people have to live with. But the Christmas story really does remind us that we should expect the unexpected, because a lot of unexpected things happen at this very first Christmas, didn't it? I was looking at some of the different characters. There's Mary. I could have pulled from Mary. You know, she wasn't expecting to be expecting, was she? There was Joseph, her betrothed husband. He wasn't expecting her to be expecting. And they worked it through, and their faith was definitely tested. And their faith really grew in the Lord and in trust with one another. But it was a trial at first. So this morning, we're going to look at the wise men. And the theme, the title is, "When You Follow a Star and You Find a Shack." And I say a shack because the wise men, when they came, it was months later. Now, we see all these pictures with the wise men by the stable. I could have said, "When you follow a star and find a stable." And that works. But really, they weren't there those first few nights. They came because the scripture says, and I'm going to read it to you in a moment here, that they came and it was a tiny house. And it was a child. It wasn't just a baby. Jesus wasn't. And we're going to see that through their actions. These three wise men, they demonstrate lessons of faith when dealing with unexpected circumstances, right? So I want to read to you Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the only gospel that speaks to this account. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. And he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law, and he asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be shepherd for the people of Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house, this tiny house, and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, because Herod had no intention of worshiping the Lord. If we know this story, his intention was to have him killed. Victor Hugo is an author. He wrote The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Les Miserables in the early, I believe it was 1800s. And Les Miserables is a book, and it was a play. I remember coming across the musical at first, and when I saw or heard the songs, I was repelled, to be honest with you. 25 years ago, I think it was, I did not like that musical. I really thought it was ungodly. I really did. I thought it was crass. And but the more I would study it, because I heard so many people loved it, and even Christians that I had talked with said, no, you're not catching the idea of this book. You need to read the book. So I read the book, Les Miserables. And the book moved me so much. I wept a few times throughout the book. I don't know how many of you have read this book. It's a magnificent book on redemption and on the law and on grace. And of course, I've seen the musical, and I've listened to the songs many times. And Les Miserables deals with the results of the French Revolution about 40 years after it took place in the late 1700s, and now Les Miserables takes place in about 1830s. A lot of interesting characters in it, and how terrible life is, and all the interesting characters. There's one character, a woman. In fact, they're making, they've made several movies. There's another movie coming out this next year, a Les Miserables movie. I don't know if you know that, but they've made many movies about this story. It's so popular worldwide. But this one character named Fantine, this single mother, this one song is so moving. I've played it so many times. I Dreamed a Dream, and some of you are probably familiar with it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to play it. But I'm going to read you the lyrics to this word, because it has to do with hopes dashed, expecting your life to be something that you are looking forward to, and it ends up being hell, as Fantine says. There was a time when men were kind, when their voices were soft and their words inviting. There was a time when love was blind and the world was a song and the song was exciting. There was a time that it all went wrong. I dreamed a dream in time gone by when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There is no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hopes apart, as they turn your dream to shame. He slept a summer by my side. He filled my days with endless wonder. He took my childhood in his stride, but he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come to me, that we will live the years together. There are dreams that cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. Wow, that is a very sad, depressing, but many of us, to some degree, can relate a bit to the despair that's in the lyrics of this song. And I really didn't appreciate this story until I had gone through some very personal issues, dreams dashed in my own life in my 20s. And that's kind of how it happens, isn't it? You hear things, or you understand things in theory, and then you live life, and you can understand a little bit of this and appreciate a story like this. And then when you, but the story has really God's redemption. It's a wonderful account. So obviously this is a very sad commentary, but I want to ask you, as a Christ follower facing something similar, let's say, or maybe not so terrible like that, but still having your faith tested, how is a Christ follower to respond in faith when your expectations are dashed or they're not quite what you thought they were going to be? James says this in his first chapter. He says, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance and helps you to mature." Wow. That's something you got to chew on. And that sounds so nice, but it's true. And just don't discard that thought. That's a deep spiritual truth. How have you responded to great disappointment in your life? And most of us haven't responded well initially. Hopefully, as a Christ follower, we work it through and we respond according to scripture that I just read to you, whether it's a relationship or your health, a job, or you got demoted or fired, or someone else took your spot, whatever. All of us, to some degree, have followed after something that turned out to be disappointing or much worse. These wise men were seekers, and it's a mystery on how the Lord and why the Lord really chose them and how they were tuned in to know that this star was specifically, you know, leading toward, you know, a certain king in Israel. Now, they didn't know this was the Son of God. They just knew this was a special king child. They held steady. They traveled for months. This wasn't something just over hill, over dale. It took them some time to get there. And as I said earlier, their actions demonstrate three lessons on faith. So here's the first one we're going to look at. When wise men find a shack after following a star, they still worship the Lord. They still worship the Lord. Don't let this go by you quickly. I think sometimes the thought that might come into our mind is when there's great disappointment, like, you got to be kidding me, this is it? They still worship the Lord. Verse 11 of this particular story says, "On coming to this house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed and they worshiped him." Now, that's just clear cut. Doesn't go into a lot of detail, but it tells me that they whatever it was, they worshiped. Now, I don't know how disappointed they were, but for sure they went to Herod. They checked out, you know, Herod, King Herod, thinking that, okay, this baby, this new king of the Jews, of Israel, is going to be born. Certainly there's going to be pomp and circumstance, and there's going to be the royals and maybe some feasting, and maybe we'll be recognized. I don't know. I'm speculating into this, but they certainly didn't think it was going to be like a little shack or something like this, in my estimation. I mean, I don't know what they talked about around the campfire at night. Man, what's it going to be like? It's going to be awesome. These were men of high stature. And all these months, you know, they were following after this star. And they come upon this little house. Really? This is it? How would you have reacted? We take this story for granted. We see them. You know, there's so much in the scripture we just take for granted because we've heard these stories over and over again. But I'm thinking that this is something they had to really work through as they're plotting toward Bethlehem, and they move toward this little tiny house. I mean, they're human beings. These aren't angels. These aren't gods. These are people. Things are going through their mind. Really? Wow. This will be interesting. But they came, and the scripture says, they saw the child, they saw his mother, and they bowed and they worshiped him. No palace, no pomp, no royals, no people serving them. They came because they were true worshipers. They were true seekers. And whatever the circumstance was, they pressed through that. If it wasn't quite what they were thinking it was going to be, they pressed through that and they continued to be a worshiper. That's a challenge for you and for me this morning. When we're thinking of something that should happen and we have expectations and this is how it should be, this is how it's always been. I mean, you've gone to Herod and it's not really what you thought it was going to be. They made no bones about it. They continued to worship. In fact, they worshiped that child very specifically. You know, you think about all these different heroes of the faith, Joseph from the Old Testament, that stayed solid in his faith even though he was tested. He was falsely accused of rape. He was put in jail. And you know, all kinds of things happened to him. You think about Job, the testing of Job's faith, losing his family, and then his physical well-being. And he says, if the Lord slay me, yet will I serve him. He's still a worshiper. I mean, come on. This is amazing stuff. You know, David wrote the 23rd Psalm, most likely in a cave, running for his life. He was a worshiper, even though things weren't going the way he thought they were going to go. Life does that to you. But we're called to still worship because we're supposed to count it joy, James says, when our faith is tested, because it brings about perseverance and it brings about maturity. You may not always feel like worshiping. When you come here on Sunday mornings, this is not supposed to be an emotional experience. If there's emotion that comes into it, that's great. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. Lord, I don't feel like worshiping you this morning. And some of it, that doesn't mean you have to, with emotion and loudness, raise your voice to him. You can worship the Lord throughout the week in your actions, but still worship him. Be obedient with your worship. Emotion and feelings can come later. Paul, the apostle, I can't think for him, but I'm wondering if when he was in prison and he was writing his epistles, if he thought from the beginning, I thought this is how it was going to end up. I mean, we just take it for granted that Paul just plodded along and realized, okay, I'm going to go to prison and I'm going to eventually die. No, you know what? Paul many times defended himself and he ran away and he hid himself and he even used legal means as a Roman citizen so he wasn't punished or so that he as a Roman citizen could last longer and preach the gospel. He's a human being. He didn't want to die, but he's in prison knowing that his last days are remaining. It's coming to this realization. And Paul says this in Philippians 1:20. They're not in your notes, but you can write that reference down, Philippians 1:20. And he says this. He says, I eagerly expect, he had an expectation for himself. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then he goes on to say, you know, to die is gain, to live is Christ. But he had to work that through. He was still a worshiper. And if you haven't had a large test in your life with a big disappointment, you will. Maybe you've already had a few. You have more. Let's remain true. Let's be worshipers. Let's remain worshiping the Lord. Leilani and I, when we moved over with our family to Kingston in 1982, we had a house, and we rented it out, and we rented it out too quickly to a couple because after a few months as we were in Kingston, they stopped making payments. I won't go into all the detail. They just didn't have the funds, And we didn't have a whole lot of equity. Probably at that time we had about $6,000 or $7,000 equity into the house. This was 1982, but that was a lot, still is. And we lost our house, we lost our equity. And this was a church of about 35 people when we went to Kingston. And it grew over time. But it's like, seriously, Lord, you've called us to Kingston, and now this? Are you kidding me? And we had to work through that, but we remained faithful, even though we didn't always feel like, you know, we were getting a fair shake. We just pressed through. we remained faithful. And God blessed us in ways I can't even go into detail about, take too much time, because of our faithfulness. And even if he didn't bless us because of our faithfulness, it was still the right thing to do to keep pressing through, worshiping him, working, no matter the circumstances. And that was a lesson that I learned. Still I'm learning. Secondly, when wise men find a shack after following a star, they still offer their best. That's pretty much related to worshiping the Lord. It's in the same verse. It says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, obviously, those were the gifts they had chosen to begin with, because those are royal gifts. You've got gold, you've got frankincense, you've got myrrh. Those types of gifts, they weren't like, well, let's get the second group. You know, let's give, you know, this is a bait. We don't need to give him that. We'll save this for some other situation. They gave the Lord their best. And I'm going to assume there was some disappointment. It wasn't a point of where they were just angry. There must have been a surprise, a disappointment, and they just, well, Lord, this is what it is. I'm giving you my best. Sometimes we want to withhold our best if it doesn't reach our expectation of what should be, whether that's in a marriage, a church, a job. They gave what they had. They gave what they had. They didn't change the gift. They weren't going to be recognized by the royals. It wasn't going to be like, come on in, that's an awesome thing. Tell us about your journey. How did this happen? Really, hey, folks, come on around here. You know what? We need to put these guys up in a great place. Nothing like that. Maybe they were thinking that was going to happen. I don't know. They were human beings, remember. They had traveled a great distance, and they came upon this little shack. That can happen in marriage. As I said, that can happen in work. It can happen on a job. Give your best and then some. Give your best and then some. Because what we're to do is to work as unto who? The Lord. Your faith is going to constantly be tested. And you're going to have expectations and you're going to have thoughts of what you want to think should happen. And many times it's not going to happen. But your faith can still grow. Thirdly, I love this one. When wise men find a shack after following a star, they stay tuned into the Lord for continued direction. Now, these guys knew how to get home the fast way, right? I mean, they knew where they came from. And it took them a while. They followed the star, but they knew where they came from. But this is what's interesting to me. It says, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way or a different route. How did they know to do that? They were divinely warned in a dream. That tells me they were open still to the leading of the Lord in their life. Not like, well, this didn't work out like I thought. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. We've done that. They still had this attitude, it seems to me, of being open. Now, I don't know how this relationship with the Lord worked at that time, but the Lord spoke to them in a dream. He didn't cast them off after they had given the gifts. He took care of them. He was still thinking about them. He still wanted the best for them. He still wants the best for you. Your expectations may or may not have been met the way you think, but the Lord still has the best intentions for you. You need to trust him with where you are right now and continue to listen to him and keep your ears and your heart open to his leading because he wants the best for you. A lot of voices call us. We have a lot of choices in our culture, don't we? And many of these voices and many of these choices are not looking out for your welfare at all. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what I'm saying, because there's a lot of voices out there, and you got to be tuned into the Lord. Are you tuned into God? Are you really tuned into God? Or are you just going, bouncing like a pinball from one thing to the other, and if it doesn't work out, then you go on to something else. Be tuned into the Lord. Your faith can become stronger when there is challenge. That's what James tells us. And so as I kind of wrap this up and as we get ready to move into, in just a few moments, into this special offering for one day, you look at the story of the wise men, it demonstrates solid faith in the face of seeming disappointment. Seeming disappointment. Now, I'm not thinking these wise men were really disappointed, but I believe they were somewhat surprised and maybe a little disappointed. You may have had great disappointment in your life. You might be living very close to the lyrics I read to you just a moment ago from Fontaine's, I Dreamed a Dream. Now, that's a very sad commentary. But for a Christ follower, it doesn't mean there's no pain. It doesn't mean there's no anguish and no questioning of God. But there's a pressing through of continuing to worship. There's a pressing through of still giving God your best. And there's the pressing through of, yes, Lord, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to trust you. You have the best for me. Even though I don't understand it, I don't get it. What's the great faith chapter in the New Testament? Hebrews, what chapter? 11. And the first part of that chapter has a list of all these people of faith, and that they're magnificent. What the Lord has done and how he delivered them and how God used them in certain situations. And then there's another part, the latter part of that chapter, that says this. There were also, these are heroes of faith. There were also those who were tortured. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. Imagine that. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised in their lifetime. That might be some of us. Maybe to this degree, maybe not. But maybe, God, you promised this. I thought it was going to be like that. And you may not receive what you think you deserve to receive because you're expecting a certain thing to happen in your life, and it hasn't. Maybe you're living that now. So I close with these questions. Have you really had your faith tested? Maybe you've had some mini tests. Maybe there's a greater test awaiting you, awaiting me. And how have you responded in the past when your faith has been tested? Have you pressed through? I believe you have. Or you are. And you want to be because you're here. And maybe you just pray this in your mind as I state this out loud. Lord, with your help, will you help me to apply these attributes no matter what come my way? Lord, with your help, I purpose to allow your Holy Spirit to fill me, to overfill me, to overflowing so I can apply these faith truths. Lord, I want to find that joy in having my faith tested. Lord, I want to mature in perseverance. I want to mature in being a person of faith. Lord, I want to continue to be a worshiper of you. And if you're not even a worshiper of the Lord, if you're just here visiting and you don't know a thing about what I'm talking about other than I'm here because I've been invited or I'm just coming to church because it's close to Christmas, our God loves you. And he sent his son Jesus, not just as a baby, but to grow into a man and to grow in ministry and to go to that cross and to die for your sin. And if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, this is a great time to do that right now. Say, God, I don't understand everything, but Lord, as much as I can understand, as much as I can grasp, I need a Savior. Please come into my life.